Well, hey, everybody, it's Donna Partow. So glad that you could join us today. We are on day 17 of a 21-day journey. I mean, we are really just rolling right along here. And it's been so encouraging to see how God is working and moving in all of your lives, and the testimonies are continuing to come in. Keep sharing those testimonies. We really want to hear from you what God's doing and how he's working and what you're doing and how you're doing your part. That's what we've been saying from the beginning. We do what we can do, and then we trust God to do what we can't do. So let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to open in prayer, and we'll dive right into today's teaching. Well, God, you've been so faithful, and we ask you to empower us to finish strong. As humans, we're good at starting. We like starting because it's exciting. But then finishing. We've not developed as much skill in finishing. Because all you need to start is enthusiasm and hope. But to finish, you need character. You need perseverance. You need power. But you're a finisher, and you've made us in your image. So help us to finish, to become finishers, to become people who are characterized by finishing what we start. Just that one habit. And really, it is a habit. It's a habit, a mindset, a decision. If the only thing that we take away from this 21-day class on making this our best year ever, it is the habit, the discipline, the determination that when we start something, we're going to finish it. That alone can change our lives. Because anything that we do that reflects your character can only make us more effective as your children. You are an author and you are a finisher. We thank you so much that you are beginning to write a new story, that you have shown us the upcoming chapter headlines. It hasn't been written yet, but I know when I write a book, I come up with the title, I've got the theme, I outline all the chapters, I sketch it in, I get a really clear idea of where I'm going. And that gives me the motivation to start writing and moving forward. So I thank you that the work we've done is really powerful, that we've sketched out where the chapters are heading. And that doesn't mean I don't change things as I go along and have surprises, but I've got a pretty good idea of where this story is going. And so, God, I thank you that you've given your children a fresh vision for the story that you want to write in their lives and for your call upon their life. And I pray that you would meet with us today, that your Holy Spirit would be very, very present, and that you would speak through me. Thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness. Amen. Amen. Hey, welcome everybody. Donna Partow here for day 17. Make this your best year ever. Now, I want to make sure that we're not forgetting the basics, because day one, I surveyed you and you said, the biggest thing I want to have a plan for the year. And if you've been following along, you really should have that by now. And if not, that's okay. Let's make it a goal to have the vision and the plan in place before we get to day 21. Just, you know, one of my favorite lines, one of my favorite movies, Invincible, find another gear. If you got to find another gear, you got to put some things aside. Definitely don't walk away from these 21 days without having that vision and that plan and the basics in place. And one of the foundational things that we wanted to do, number two, was to retrain our brain. And it's really simple. Ask it new questions. Your brain is about the business of answering questions. That's what it does. It asks and answers questions all day long. So if you ask it better questions, it will find better answers. And we camped out on that a couple days ago. We've given examples of people who ask good questions ask the right questions. And we also saw where it ends up when you ask self-defeating questions. I hope you realize that a lot of those negative, accusatory questions are not even from you. They're certainly not from God. They're from the enemy. Questions like, oh, what are you thinking? Come on, do you really think you're ever going to change? The enemy was the one asking those of Nehemiah and God's people, not God. So notice the questions that you're asking yourself. And be sure that you're not letting the enemy take control of your brain, you know? He wants to brainwash you to the negative. He wants to brainwash you with all his cynicism and skepticism and doubt. God wants to fill you with hope and expectation. Jesus said, ask. You have not because you ask not. And when you ask with the wrong motive and you ask the wrong questions. So from a pure heart, God, how can I serve you today? How can I glorify you today? How can I thank you today? What can I thank you for today? What are you doing in my life today that I can praise you and thank you for? Begin asking better questions. This alone will change your life because you are retraining your brain. And I challenged you to develop one new core question because we all have a question. I confessed my question I've been asking for 55 years, what's wrong? Always looking for what's wrong. And guess what? My brain will find it. Hey, what's wrong with me? Why can't I change? Well, my brain will give me 100 excuses. And we all have either excuses or results. Your brain will always find, why can't I finish this 21-day class? Your brain will absolutely give you a million reasons. Well, because this and because that and because the other. Oh, okay. Well, now I have an explanation. Now I have an excuse. So I'll just walk away. Retrain your brain. What is your new question? I hope you know what it is. My new question is, what's good about? What's good about right now? What's good about today? What did God do that was good in my life? I'm asking my brain, show me the good. You've spent 55 years showing me everything that's wrong with people and with me and with circumstances. I don't care anymore. Don't show me anymore. Please don't show me what's wrong with anybody else. I don't want to know. I don't care. I'm done. Show me what's good. If anything is excellent, praiseworthy, if it's good, if it's God, show me that stuff. That's what I want to see. So reticular activating system, I'm giving you a new assignment. Show me the good. Show me God. I don't care what the devil's doing. I've been giving him too much publicity for too long. I don't care. I'm not interested in his questions. I'm not interested in his agenda. No, thank you. The devil will, you know, they're... I truly believe that they're little demons and they're little fault finder demons. And their whole job is to find fault. They find fault with you. They find fault with everybody else. And then they just sit on your shoulder and tell you all the faults, all your faults and all everybody else's faults. I'm convinced of it. I don't care. I want to know what God is doing. I want to look at what's good. Retrain your brain. So simple. Ask it new questions. And then, you know, just flood your life with positive, uplifting teaching. Flood your life with God's word, time in his word, and time in his presence. That's how we change our lives. And I felt it was important to, I hope we're not losing sight of the basics. I want to give a testimony. This is from Etel. And usually I have a picture, but for some reason it didn't want to drop and drag her picture today. So anyway, wonderful, beautiful lady. She says, I notice I am becoming more consistent in my thought patterns. Yay. Yay, you. You are retraining your brain. I am sticking with my first goal, fire of God, and I see a difference. I'm becoming bolder. I even started a prayer group with my sisters for every Sunday at 7 p.m. so we can pull down the strongholds in our family. I set up the whole thing. This is not me. I set up a conference call. I even gave them the subject matter to pray about. Thank you, Donna, for bringing me out of my comfort zone. Thank God. God is the one doing it. Soaking every day, listening to the word every night as I go to sleep, studying Proverbs. Got up at 3 a.m. An hour early to accomplish this task. Even did some stretching. All this before going to work. Etel, you just keep going. This will be your best year ever. You are getting it. in a big way. And I am so proud of you. Why is this going to be her best year ever? Why? Because she's retraining her brain and she's staying focused on the goal that she set before herself. She's not saying, you know, I'm going to change everything about myself. I'm going to lose 5,000 pounds, get out of debt, go and change the world and get a new house. I mean, no. No, she's got one goal and she's focused on it. And the beautiful thing is, if she really does that one goal, and she will, and stays with it, fire of God, that's going to burn off dross. You don't think that's going to show up in every other area of her life? Of course it is. That's why I say, go for the lead domino. Go for the lead domino, but focus on it. Don't dissipate your energy. Focus. There's no time for hocus pocus. Focus. One, maximum two or three. I'm reiterating the basics. Clarify your vision. Do you have your vision board? Can you see it? I know a lot of you have made it on your computer. If you made it on your computer, make sure you figure out how to make it your screensaver and take it, you know, mail it to yourself as a PDF and then take it to a print shop and have it print it for real. I think you need to have it on a wall somewhere. Get it from your computer onto a wall. Make sure that vision, because that trains your brain. Your brain wakes up, sees the vision, and says, oh, is that where, that's where I'm supposed to be going. Okay, now I know where I'm going. You know, we Christians, we mock this, The Secret? You know, and you know, I'm just going to sit and have a picture of a dollar bill over my bed, and I'm going to, you know, money's going to magically come to me. You know, we laughed at it, and some of it was silly and New Age mumbo jumbo, but there really is powerful truth. I mean, all truth is God's truth. So anything that they found that's true, any principle that they discovered that works, that's God. So let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater. It really is. Some of these things that they teach really are powerful. I mean, it really is powerful to have a vision board. You know, not because like the universe. Ooh. No, because your brain. Okay. We don't need the universe. You know, your brain is like the most powerful machine ever conceived. Your brain is more powerful than a bajillion iPhones. And we haven't even begun to tap into the power of our brain. Haven't even begun. Some of the experts say we don't even use 10% of our brain. So we're retraining our brain, giving it a vision, saying, hey, brain, this is where I'm going. Show me the resources. Because you're probably walking right by the people who can help you. You probably walk by them all the time. You probably walk by the book, the one book that you need. You walk right past it in the bookstore because your mind isn't focused. It's scattered. When you tell your brain what to do and really give it the vision and stay focused on that vision, that miracle God gave you called your brain begins to get clarity. And when that mental clarity begins to operate, you have so much more ability than you know. Clarify your vision. Make sure you have it in writing, up on a poster board. You know where you're going. And then you've got to have a plan. Do you have a plan? Or are you just listening to me teach every day? I just want to make sure that you have your plan. Do you know where you're going this year? You know, again, back to that whiteboard. I hope you all have a whiteboard or something like it. Where are you going? Okay, you know your lifetime vision. What's the big picture? Okay, what do you need to do this year? What do you need to do this month? Okay, well then what do you need to do this week? Okay, well what do you need to do today? And that you're looking at that plan every day. It doesn't have to be a whiteboard. I love it. It's cheap. It's simple. It's easy. It's visual. It works for me. Whatever works for you is great, but you're doing this, right? Again, it's not enough to say, wow, that's really great. That would be wonderful. I really should do that. You have to do it. You have to actually do it. Are you doing it? How's your whiteboard? You keeping up with it? This is so simple. So simple. Once a week, take time, Sunday, reflect. How did I do last week? Am I remembering what my vision is? Am I heading towards it? Am I making forward progress? Little bits with consistency. Hey, how can I move an inch forward? How can I move an inch forward this week? What can I do? You don't need to focus on what God's job. God's got his part. He's taking care of that. He's waiting for you to be diligent and faithful to do your part. So you're doing that on Sundays. What is it, 15 minutes? And then every day, at the end of every day, go back to the whiteboard. This is so doable. This is not rocket science. You don't need a 140 IQ for this. Anybody can do this. If you want to do it on paper, you can do it on paper. If you want got a smartphone app, do a smartphone app or your spreadsheet on your computer. I don't care. But make sure it works for you. Do it every week. Not when you feel like it. Do it every week without fail. Plan. Have a plan. Work your plan. Are you doing that? Do you have a measuring system? Did you do it? Do you have it? Are you doing it? That's what I'm saying. Are you tracking your progress? Do you have some kind of a chart somewhere where you're tracking your progress towards a specific project? Whether you're writing a book, writing a song, doing art, whatever you're doing, launching a ministry, launching a website. Are you able to measure tangible progress towards it? Have you found an accountability partner? Wow, accountability. Donna says that's a missing ingredient in all of our lives. That's really interesting. I love the way she shared that. That was so fascinating. I think I'm going to listen to it again. No. Get an accountability. Do you have an accountability partner? We're on day 17. If you haven't found an accountability partner, I really want you to do this today. I want you to pick up the phone. Pick up the phone. I know. Isn't that weird? Like, okay, so this is going to sound really crazy. Call someone. Can you imagine? Like not text them. Like call somebody. And say, look, I've got these goals. I'm excited. I've got a plan in play. I've got this amazing system. And I can actually, you know, we partner together. Do you have some goals? What do you want to do this year? Let's hold each other accountable. And then if you want to text each other every day or call each other once a week or get together, whatever, however you want to, but you need accountability. I'm just a little concerned that these are really interesting ideas. We're still in the, wow, this is so interesting phase. No. We need to be putting feet to our faith. Show me your faith without works. I'll show you my faith by what I do. We really believe God's going to do something amazing in our lives this year. Let's put some feet to our faith. Let's go get an accountability partner in some area of our lives. Are you monitoring your milestones? Are you tracking it? Do you know where you're at? Are you celebrating? Come on the Facebook group and tell me what, I haven't heard from some of you. What reward are you working for this year? I mean, it should be big. It should be big because you should have a big, audacious, unless God helps you, impossible goal. And when you get it done, you need to celebrate. Some of you need to come to Fiji with me. Set a goal that's so huge, you deserve 7 days in Fiji when you get it done. But I want to hear, what is this big celebration? And of course, then you need little celebrations. I'd love to hear from some of you, even today at the end of this call, what are some little celebrations that maybe you're doing once a week or twice a month or once a month that you need to plan out these celebrations? You need to plan out these rewards so that you know what you're working towards. Have you done that? Please share with me today. Type it in right now into the question box. You answer any of these, and I can share them at the end. What's your celebration going to look like? At the end of these, at the end of this month, if you achieve what you plan to do during the class, while it's still live, while you're still excited, what's the reward going to be? Tell us about it. So we can cheer you on and spur you on. Again, it's not, wow, that's a really interesting idea. Behavior that gets rewarded gets repeated. So I should plan out a reward for accomplishment. I should plan out a reward for getting things done. And then my brain will say, wow, so the way to get what I want is to get things done? I had no idea. Maybe I better tell this person to turn the TV off and let's go take a walk around the block. Your brain will start cooperating with you because it wants rewards. But you have to plan them. It's not enough to just say, well, that's really interesting. Have you planned? And this is totally God. He told me this morning, he's like, you know what? They've got to get out of the conceptual into feet to their faith. They got to really start doing these steps. I want to hear about your celebration that you've planned. I want it to be, it should be amazing. It should be something like you wake up at 5 a.m. You're like, I got to get moving. I want to go to Fiji this year. I got to get moving. I've promised myself a river cruise through Europe if I get this done. And if I don't get it done, I'm giving $500 to, you know, the next random stranger I see in cash so that they can't thank me and running away. And make it, you know, I shared the idea of the dire consequence. It should be, your reward should be so huge and so powerful to you, and your brain should want that so badly that you're getting up an hour earlier. If your reward isn't so powerful that you're waking up before the alarm and jumping up, then your reward isn't big enough. I'll say it again. If your reward doesn't have you so excited and energized that you're waking up before the alarm because you got to go, I've got to go write that book, because if I get that book written, I'm going to Fiji. And if I don't get that book written, I'm giving away the plane ticket. I don't know, something. Something. But if it's not getting you out of bed, if you're not so excited at night that you're like having trouble sleeping because you're just so excited and you're like, oh, I want to get up and do one more thing towards this goal, then the reward isn't big enough. It's not powerful enough. I don't know. I feel like maybe I didn't communicate this, because I don't see you on the Facebook group talking about this big celebration and this big reward that you've planned for yourself when you hit your goal. And it should be exciting. You should be talking about it. Like, you know what? My husband's on board. We are going to take we're going to go to Tahiti. I mean, we're going to go to Bora Bora, because he is so sick of me complaining about this stinking thing. He is so sick of hearing me complain about my weight that he said, if I really do lose 70 pounds this year or 50 pounds, if I really do that without complaining and making him crazy, but I really joyfully do it and just get it done, that he would gladly take me to Bora Bora for 2 weeks to celebrate. I'm hearing a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of excitement, a lot of, wow, that was really interesting, Donna. And we're hearing testimonies, people are moving forward. But I'm not hearing enough about this celebration aspect. And I think you're missing it. I think you're missing it big time, because behavior that gets rewarded gets repeated. And if you want to have this year be like a, wow, that was the year I finally launched the business. That was the year I finally lost the weight. That was the year I finally got it done. If you want that to happen this year, I am telling you right now, you're missing this step. You better plan a reward that just so inspires you that you can't not do it. You're like, there is no way I'm going to miss out on this. And seriously, some of you should think about a dire consequence that you're just like, no way I'm going to hand $1,000. There's no way I'm going to put away $100 a week. And if I don't hit my goal, I'm going to give it away to someone I don't know someone in a Mercedes who doesn't look like they need any money at all. I'm going to give it to them and then run away. Yeah, I don't know. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go to the nearest private golf club and just anonymously leave an envelope of cash on the most expensive car in the parking lot. No, I'm not going to do that. So I better get my buns in gear and find a way and make this happen. I'm telling you, it's powerful. And I think we're missing it. And then what is it about? It's about imparting your gifts to the world. Some of you have got your gifts locked up in a basement somewhere. You've got these great ideas. You've got so much to contribute, so much to bring to the table. And it's time. It's time to get out there. It's time to get up and go and take the message. That's what time it is. And a lot of you need to take my class, Take Your Message to the World. And it's at a crazy price right now. I'll put up on the Facebook group. Some of you are already doing it. But a lot of you, that's a great next step. It's about how to leverage the internet. And all of us should be, whatever you're called to do, you need to use the internet, because that's where people are. Whatever you're called to do, it involves people. The easiest way to get up and go is to get up and go onto the internet. The easiest way to take a message to the entire world is on the internet. You know, my online university, we reach people from six continents. We have not had anyone enroll in a class from Antarctica. All other continents have been reached from my house or wherever I am in the world. I was on a mission trip in Colombia for 3 months, still running my online university. I lived in a remote tropical island for 3 months, still was able to run my online university. I can reach people anywhere in the world from anywhere in the world. Why would we as Christians not be at the forefront of that? We need to be at the forefront of that. And that maybe that is one way that a lot of you, may not be the only way, but probably for most of us, one way that we're going to impart our gifts, get up and go and take our message, is by leveraging the internet. Okay. So, this should say day 17. My bad. we're on day 17. I resolve. Are you writing this every morning? I wrote it this morning. First thing. Did you? Just one sentence. But again, it's not enough to say, wow, that would be interesting. No, you have to do it. Pen to paper. Remember we said yesterday? But, you know, precious little buns out of bed, to your knees or, you know, to your prayer place, whatever. Then pen to paper. I resolve to partner with God to make this my best year ever by doing what, where, when, how often, so that I can finally, I hope you have the word finally in there, because this should be something that has been your goal for like 10 years. I can finally, whatever, lose the weight, write the book, da, da, da. We're on to day 17, a life beyond ourselves. This is like all step seven stuff, right? The key passage is from Nehemiah. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. So it always starts with prayer, right? We have to start with prayer. And then I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for, not for himself, for your people Israel. I confess we've sinned against you. Yes, even my own family, and I've sinned. We've sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. But please remember, and this is a powerful way to pray. Remember, you know, speak back to God his word. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. See, there's consequences. God loves us, but our choices have consequences. And the Bible is filled with if this, then that. If this, then that. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you're exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I've chosen for my name to be honored. And so God, I just want to pray right now for all those people who are sitting here right now and saying, you know what, if I'm honest, I really have not been faithful to run with the vision God gave me. I really have not been diligent. It's just got to be honest. I really have not been faithful and diligent to do what I know God has told me to do. And he's been telling me for years that I need to do it. And you know, there's a part of me that just feels scattered. I feel scattered. I feel like I'm just scattered all over the place. But right now, I'm returning to you, God. Right now, in this moment, I'm returning to you, God. And I'm saying, I'm willing to obey the command. You know, this is a comeback year. And God, I want to come back and obey what you've been telling me to do all along. Right now, God, would we come back to you wholeheartedly? No more living scattered. No more scatterbrained, scattered clutter, scattered dreams, scattered goals, scatter. No more. We want to gather our wits about us. Gather up a vision. Gather up a plan. Come back to you and come back to the original assignment that you gave us. And I'm telling you, God has told you. God told you at some point, and maybe over and over again, he's told you what he wants you to do and how he wants you to live and the changes you need to make. He's told you. And so, God, we come back to you now. And the cool thing is God's the one who brings us back. We just say, God, bring me back. I want to come back now. And then God does the rest. Isn't that cool? God says, I will bring you back to the place I've chosen for my name to be honored. That's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to bring you back. If you just say, you know, Lord, I admit it, I've blown it, sorry. Got distracted, got scattered, but here I am. Here I am, Lord, send me. God said, okay, well, I gather you back. And I want to put you in the place that I've chosen for you to fulfill. There is a place that you were destined to fulfill in the plan of God. And you know why? To honor his name. God wants to glorify his name through your life. And that is not going to happen while you're scattered all over the place like a crazy person. It's going to come with focus. When you come back to the place, the destiny God has for you, get on task, get on target, and glorify him. The people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. Are we? I mean, didn't God rescue you? Didn't God save you? Okay, so are you now serving? That's an active role. Are you serving God? Or are you off doing a million other things? Oh, Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success. You know, God wants us to succeed. I will tell you right now, I totally had a theology of failure. I thought humility was like hating myself, you know, driving a beat up car. I thought that was humility. It was really pride in disguise. But Nehemiah says, "Grant me success. Grant me success." Do we even have the courage? And again, you know, the church is in different camps. You have some people who go too far with it, with the success doctrine. But there are people like me. We went too far with the failure doctrine. Well, if I'm just a loser and I hate myself, just that just shows how spiritual I am. No, we need to be well balanced. It's because it's not about us at all. He wants success in the task that God gave him and for God's glory. So there's the balance. Please grant me success today. How? By making the king favorable to me. So it's okay to pray for favor. Put it in his heart to be kind to me. Do you know that God will do this? It's beyond the scope of this class. I have whole programs on the favor of God. God wants you to have favor. And some of us, we're like at such a different place. We feel like everybody's out to get us and nobody's help. Could somebody help me out? Could I get a break around here? I'll talk about myself. I mean, that's the kind of thing I used to say all the time. How come nobody helps me? Nobody's helping me. We can go to God and say, you know what, Lord, grant me success. I want this endeavor to succeed because it's for your glory. And this is what you created and called me to do. Why would God give you an assignment and then want you to fail or be second rate? That's crazy. It's crazy. But I'm telling you, I still need to work on this. There's still a part of me that thinks, well, you better not be too successful. Because if you really love Jesus, you know, if you're too successful, you might get money, and people who have money are bad people. I still am working on that because that was ingrained in me growing up. Those successful people, we were suspicious of them. And some of us, we just need to come to God and say, Lord, what's the balance in all this? What does success look like? But Nehemiah is not afraid to ask for the king. He's not afraid to ask for influence in the absolute highest places. Do we as Christians dare to think, you know, I want favor with the president of the United States. I want favor with the state senator. Do we have that kind of boldness? If we're on the mission for God, then we should have that kind of boldness. God put it in his heart to be kind to me. I think this is a great prayer. I think some of you, this would be a great affirmation. This would be a great affirmation. This whole prayer could be turned into affirmations. God's word made personal. God, grant me success today by making influential people in a position to empower me to fulfill this vision and to carry out these plans. Would you make them favorable to me? Would you put it in their hearts to be kind to me? Because I'm on a mission here to do, and I'm being faithful to do everything I know how to do, but I'm going to need some people. I'm going to need some influential people. And if your grand vision doesn't require input from any influential people, then your vision's probably not big enough. Remember, your plan is things that you can do, but your vision should be so big that you're going to need some influential people to show you favor and be kind to you. If not, you need a bigger vision. He says, in those days, I was the cupbearer. I was the king's cupbearer. That's Nehemiah chapter 1. See, the book of Nehemiah reminds us of the foundations of our faith. Back to basics. Praying according to God's will. Living in alignment with the call of God upon our life. It challenges us to build and to rebuild in the areas of personal and spiritual discipline. And really aligning ourselves. Before we go out and try to carry out our plan, are we asking for favor? Are we asking for God's involvement? And again, people tend to be at two extremes. Some people are like, I'll just sit and pray and I know God will do it. Well, what are you doing? Are you doing absolutely everything that you can every day with diligence? Here's your cup, here's your cup, here's your cup, here's your cup. Are you doing all day, every day what you can do? Here's your cup, here's your cup, here's your cup. The little mundane daily tasks, are you being diligent and faithful and all of that? I'm telling you, God, this king would not have granted favor to Nehemiah if he was sitting watching television and eating potato chips and waiting for God to do it. And then some of us, like me, are at the other extreme. Like we get up and run and we're like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then like you make a big fat mess and like, I forgot to ask God to be, I forgot to find out if God was part of it. Uh-oh. So I don't know where you are on that spectrum. But we need to be well-balanced. His life challenges us to build with the bricks that are already at our disposal. Where did he start? With prayer, with fasting. He knew the word of God. And he didn't have a smartphone app with the Bible on it. But he knew what the Pentateuch said. The books Moses wrote, apparently available to him. Because he knew what God had said to Moses. Prayer, fasting, study of God's word. He had the basics. Hey, I want the president to have favor. I want the president or the president of a movie company or the president of a record company or the president of a publishing house. I want that kind of favor and influence. Okay, how you doing with the basics? How you doing with the basics? The prayer, the fasting. Do you know God's word? How you doing with the basics? Nehemiah goes through multiple seasons of life and several career changes, from a mundane job that required fierce loyalty and protective instincts. And I want to speak to those of you, your primary job right now is mother. Some of it feels mundane. He was making sure that the person he loved and served didn't get poisoned. That was his job, to make sure the person he was in charge of taking care of did not get poisoned. If you're a mother, there's your number one job, to make sure the people that you love don't get poisoned. And Nehemiah was in complete control of what that person drank. I'm going to give you food, what you drink, okay? You're not going to drink anything unless it comes through me first, so I can make sure it's going to be good for you and not poison you and not do damage. And not kill you. If you're a mother, hey, guess what? That's your job. You're the cupbearer to your kids. Here's your cup. Here's your cup. Here's your cup. And it feels mundane. But that doesn't mean it's not life or death. It was mundane. Here's your cup. Here's your cup. Here's your cup. It was life or death. If he let down his guard for 1 minute, the enemies of that king could have poisoned him and killed him. It done him great harm. And God saw his diligence day after day in a mundane job. It's like, you know what? I like your character. You understand. It may feel mundane. It may feel monotonous. It may feel like every day I got to do the same thing. But he never lost sight of the fact that he was on a mission. He kept the big picture in view. And we need to do the same. And the same for fathers. Feels like a mundane job, but it requires fierce loyalty and protective instincts. And when God saw him being faithful with that assignment, he's like, you know what? I like this guy. I can trust him with something bigger. God could have picked anybody. Why did he pick Nehemiah? Here's your cup. 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 because he saw something in his character. He saw things like Nehemiah was committed to personal and spiritual disciplines. He saw, here's your cup, prayer, fasting, in the study of God's word. He saw who Nehemiah, the building that he had created on the inside. He was building with solid bricks. There was a solid foundation of character and personal discipline that God liked. And that's why God took them from a really mundane but responsible position to general contractor of a massive building project. He then becomes a political leader, a governor, and then goes back to serving the king. And, you know, I joke, you know, those of you who are moms, you may go, God may do amazing things, and you may have the season of incredible fruitfulness, and then you'll be a grandma, and you'll be right back to, here's the cup. Through all these challenges and all these changes, one thing remains the same, Nehemiah's integrity. Now, I will tell you, I'm probably the worst on this, and maybe some of you are the same way, since we're all the same. I'll bet a lot of people will relate. For a lot of years, I told myself, you know what, God, if you gave me a big, amazing ministry, if I had my own TV show, then I would be, you know, then I would be up at 4 a.m., praying, you know, if I had great crusades like Benny Hinn, I'm sure then I would be up at 3 and 4 in the morning, you know, really. We're just fooling ourselves. What are you doing now with where you are now? Here's your cup. How you doing with that? Because God is always watching for someone to promote. The eyes of the Lord are ranging throughout all the earth right now. He's looking for Nehemiahs, diligently, faithfully, with fierce loyalty and integrity and devotion and foundation in the word of God and the ways of God. Just being faithful, just being diligent. And all of a sudden, boom, he picks you up, boop. And puts you in a place, people can't believe it. People will be like, how on earth? Wow, where did that person come from? His integrity stays the same. And I have no idea why I wrote that three times. But notice it's there three times. It's an accident in the natural, but I have a feeling it's not an accident. So it's there three times in a row. Through all these challenges and changes, one thing remains the same. Nehemiah's integrity. Here it is again. Through all these challenges and changes, one thing remains the same, Nehemiah's integrity. Are you the same person? Are you one person at church and another person at home and another person at the grocery store and another person at Starbucks? Integrity. Integrity means you're the same person. Wherever you are. Are you the same person? Wherever you are? That's what God's looking for. God's looking for someone that they're the same person wherever they are. Apparently God wants to emphasize it. Whatever he finds to do, he does it with all his heart, and he does it as if God himself were his employer. That's the person that God is going to partner with this year to achieve their vision. That is the person that God is going to begin to move heaven and earth to propel them onward. That we can do. There are a lot of things we can't do, but this we can do, and this we must do. That daily diligence, that daily character and integrity, commitment to God's word and his presence. We notice that Nehemiah was both a thoughtful man of prayer and study, but also a passionate man of action. He was well-balanced. He did both. His best life, it was not about himself. It was about other people. He was moved with compassion by their need. And I think that's another thing God is looking for. He's looking for someone whose vision is not about themselves. He's looking for someone whose vision is built on compassion. And a lot of times it is things we've been through ourselves. So in that sense, it's about us, right? You've been through something, and we comfort others out of the comfort we ourselves have received. But you're moved by compassion because you want to spare other people needless suffering. You know, I have a woman partners with me in this ministry of Women's Empowerment University. Her brother committed suicide in prison. And it was her only sibling. They were very close. Moved by compassion, she spent the rest of her life devoted to prison ministry, to being there for people behind bars, being there for their family members, because it has a profound effect on the family. I remember as a little girl, Saturdays was the day to go to prison and visit our family. I remember getting, the other kids would go roller skating. We would pack up and get in the car and go visit, you know, our family members in prison. And it's ironic because my mother grew up the same way. Saturday morning, she would take the bus down to the old prison by the waterfront in Philadelphia and stand outside. They couldn't get in, stand outside and wave to her uncle in prison. And he was actually innocent. He actually was pardoned. He was charged with a murder he hadn't committed. And he was actually pardoned because the real murderer confessed it on his deathbed. And he came and lived, and he was like a second father to me. He lived with me all of my life. But out of compassion, as someone who knows what it's like, one, to have a family member commit suicide, but to have family members incarcerated and to know what it feels like, a big part of what drives me is I know what it feels like when other people's choices rock your world. And when my brothers went to prison, it was front page news. And I suffered unbelievably, mocked, just every day was mocked and tormented. I don't think they gave me a break at school ever. Every day was a great day to mock the drug addict family and draw pictures of my family with needles in our arms and write drug addict family across the top. That's why I homeschool, because I just never wanted my children to be mocked and bullied. I know what it is to be bullied and mocked and just emotionally tortured by other children. I know what that feels like. Yeah, out of that compassion. I have a great compassion for women in the Middle East. I was married to a man from the Middle East. I was with him for 20 years, from the time I was 18 till the time I was almost 40. I know what their lives look like. I know what that feels like. To not be allowed to leave your house without a male relative. That's the rule. That's the way it is. And I wasn't allowed to leave my house unsupervised without his express permission. I remember, I don't even know why I'm on this, but I used to tell this all the time when I traveled in ministry. I can remember one morning, it was a beautiful day, and I wanted to go for a walk around the block. And I asked, I was in my 30s, I would imagine, or around 30, and I said, can I go for a walk around the block? And he said, absolutely not. What kind of a woman would want to go for a walk around the block without her husband? What are you up to? And that turned into like a whole interrogation because I wanted to go for a walk around the block. And I was like, okay, I hear you. But could I sit on the front step for a little while? Absolutely not. And his control over my life was so absolute that I did not dare sit on the front step without his permission. Now, you've spent 17 days with me. What do you think it would have taken? You fill in the dots for someone to have that much control over my mind and over my life. I know what it feels like to be a Muslim wife. I have tremendous compassion. And I believe that God maybe somehow someday is going to use me in the Middle East. And he's promised that. I don't know what it's going to be. Again, that's something so that I can't dare get on a plane and go to Saudi Arabia. I would need that vision, and I do have a powerful vision that God's given me of going to the Middle East, going to Saudi Arabia, going to places in the Middle East that Western women have never gone and have done some ministry there. But there are parts of that God's going to have to do. There are parts of that only God can do. But I can be diligent and faithful to do the little. Not even sure why I shared that. Wasn't planning it. But what I'm saying is that moved by compassion, is there something that you've lived through? Different things that you've lived through, and out of compassion, you want to help other people. That's something that God will really get on board with in a big way. Nehemiah was moved by compassion His life was not, and he wanted to be successful. And he did get to live in the palace. And he got to have a great position of influence. And he didn't hesitate. I'll probably cover this. He asked for a house. He said, I need a house. I'm not living in a tent. I'm willing to go to Jerusalem, this dangerous, you know, piles of rubble. I'm willing to do that, but I've been living in a palace and I'm kind of used to living in a palace. I need a house. I'm sorry. I've got to have a house. He did. He wasn't afraid to ask for that, for what he needed. That's just kind of a balance. Nehemiah not only recognized the problem, he was willing to be part of the solution, even though it meant uprooting his entire life, walking away from life in a palace, walking away from an influential government position to live in a very dangerous city. Remember, we're talking about a Middle Eastern city, war-torn city in rubbles, surrounded by, and we're talking about Israel. Maybe it's contemporary. Now, they've done a good job of making it safe, so maybe we need to pick Ramadi. Maybe we need to pick a city in the Middle East that's an abject ruin right now. That's where he was going. But he understood that the king had the power and the resources to solve the problem. Do you understand that we serve a king? Our king has all the power and all the resources to solve every problem we see in our lives and, more importantly, in our world. There is not a problem on this planet that is too big for our God. He has the power, he has the resources, and he can influence the most unlikely people. This was a pagan king? This wasn't a Christian king? It was a Middle Eastern king, Middle Eastern pagan king. But he gave Nehemiah, one of God's children, everything he needed, to fulfill the call of God on his life. Do we truly believe that a Middle Eastern pagan king can do more than our king? Please. That's why I'm telling you, some of us, you need a bigger vision. Now, remember, balance the plan. Are you working the plan? Here's the cup. Are you getting up every, I mean, be honest. This is for, I know who this is for. Be honest. Are you really waking up every day and doing absolutely every possible thing with absolute diligence, every conceivable idea that your precious little brain can come up with, and diligently doing it every day without fail, not just when you feel like it? Are you really doing it? Really? I mean, come on, be honest. Never kid a kidder. Or are you just like, well, I'll just wait for God to do something. I'm going to wait for God to do his part. And when God does his miraculous part, then I'll do my part. I'm telling you, I'm just being honest because I was the worst at this. When God does his part, then I'll do my part. That was me. That was my modus operandi. That was my MO. That was how I rolled. Then God, when you do your part, then I'll do my part. And that God's not playing that game. No. No. You get it backwards. You're putting the cart before the horse. You're putting yourself before the king. No, when the king sees you doing absolutely everything you can possibly do with honor, integrity, prayer, diligence, when he sees that, then and only then is he going to do his part. So I love you. This is. I know that this is for a few people, and I see you right now. I'm not naming names because then you won't love me. You'll run for the accent. I'll let the Holy Spirit tell you who it's for. God isn't just the God of the church, right? Everything Nehemiah is doing is outside the church. We just spend way too much time, and maybe this is my bias. I mean, we need the God of the city. We need to leave the building, get up and go. Get up and go and take the message outside the church walls. That's why I'm passionate about the internet. Leave the building. If your best life is about building outside the church walls, good. God has all the power and all the authority, and he can give you what you need. And if you feel called to the church needs help, for sure. For sure, the church, especially in this country, desperately need. We don't need any more programs, but we do need God. We do need the fire of God. So absolutely, I don't want to be out of balance. God, the church is the bride. God loves his bride. So if you have a passion for the church, beautiful, wonderful. But what I'm saying is to the person that feels called outside the church, don't think that that's not important to God or that that's not as spiritual. It was what Nehemiah's work was important enough to have an entire book of the Bible. And really, Ezra is directly connected, was partnering in all of this rebuilding. There's a lot. There's a ton. Who are we getting in the Old Testament about really practical rebuilding cities, rebuilding communities? There's a ton of it. That matters to God. So if your call is to the community, that matters to God just as much. I hope that makes sense. Anyway, well, let me pray for you guys. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this. I just really feel this was from you. I just really feel this was from you. I just know that this was from you. We thank you so much for the example of Nehemiah. And the balance between vision and plan. Lord, would you just challenge your people today to dare to dream and to vision with you way bigger, way bigger. Some need to go back to the vision board and make sure some of it is about other people. Maybe that's just a little element that they missed. It's a major element that they missed. And we had a little course correction here today. Your vision, if it's really going to, I mean, you can do whatever you want, but if you want God to get on board in a big way, let me put it this way. If you're expecting God, the God of the universe, to really get on board in a big way and start doing crazy things like the top people in the industry, the top people in a field, taking a personal interest in you, then there's some specific things that God is looking for in your life. And a big part of that is some of your vision. Yeah, again, Nehemiah asked for, he's like, I need a house. I gotta have a house. He wasn't afraid to ask for some things that he personally needed that were important to him. But his mission, his vision was driven by compassion for other people. And I also want to encourage those of you who are like, Donna, it sounds like so much of what you're talking about. I need to be able to teach or sing or do artwork or write a book. And I don't really do any of those things. Well, you know what? Nehemiah's primary call was rolling up a sleeve and building and leading and helping people. Yeah, he wrote a book too, but the book was about what he did. Some of you are doers. Some of you are just doers. You're going to go and get the job done. And God is just as much in that as in those who are writing and speaking. But I just really felt today we needed to broaden our horizons and dream bigger and believe larger. Some of you are like, Donna, I don't know how much larger I can be. Yeah, you can, because we have a big God and his heart is for the whole world. And I truly believe that he had me do this today because whatever vision you have, you need to make it bigger. You need to make it bigger. And the way that we do that is to make it, you know, just get in touch with God's heart of compassion and say, God, what group of people can I touch? And what group of people can I help rebuild their lives? How can I make a difference? We love you so much, God. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the example. Every word that was written is for our encouragement. And Nehemiah encourages me. Because whatever season of life we're in, whether we're, you know, here's the cup. Or position of influence. Nehemiah is living proof that you're always watching and you're always strengthening. And at any moment, one that you find faithful, you can strengthen them and do the impossible through their lives. We love you, Lord. And I thank you so much for this privilege of teaching your people and teaching your word. Because it's alive, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And I thank you that I get the privilege of wielding that sword. Heal your people. Empower your people. Inspire your people today. Amen. Well, we will end the recording there. And I would love to hear from you. You can type your response into the little question box. Or if you're really brave, you can raise your hand. But when you raise your hand, you need to make sure, find that little microphone icon. If you can't find the microphone icon, then you can't. Don't raise your hand because you're not going to be able to talk to me. But if you see the microphone right now, it probably has a line through it. Right now, it's probably gray. When I unmute you, that line will be removed. And if it's still gray, then you got to click on it and make sure that it's green or we're not going to hear from you. And I really want to hear from some of you. I really do. Allison says, I wake up every day looking forward to fulfilling my goals for the day. This class has been a blessing. I never took the time to build myself up and to establish a vision, measurable goals, and retraining my brain. What a revelation. The discipline and focus that is starting to come on me is amazing. The new woman is coming forth. Allison, do me a favor, take that exact sentence, please, and put it on the Facebook group so I can share that tomorrow. That is powerful. Tosca shared a verse. Finally, brothers and sisters, keep your thoughts on whatever is right or deserves praise, things that are true, honorable, fair, pure, acceptable, or commendable. Philippians 4:8. Deborah's planning a night out with her husband. Melissa has a reward planned. Okay, she has a rewards list. She didn't specify what it was. Aleda says, I've been waking up an hour early every day for almost a week now just to seek God. I want to make sure He is my focus as I pursue my goals. Good, I like that. That's a really good balance. Let me see if anybody is jumping in. I would just really love to hear from you. Here we go. Anybody wants to raise their hand? I'm going to scroll through and see if anybody's got their hand raised. And if not, I see people typing in the chat and I can share those with everybody. Scrolling. Feel free, love for you to raise your hand and share. Would love to hear from you. No? Not seeing anybody raising their hand. Kimberly says, I'm using a lot of the tools that you've recommended, not just for my personal growth, but also for my business. It's causing my business to run more smoothly and I can track its progress. I'm even able to make promotional material for an up and coming event. I'm very excited. Now for serious prayer. Still struggling with a poverty spirit. I need to change from the inside. Yeah, I think a lot of people do that. So I'm going to go ahead and pray about that. Okay, so Father, I just want to pray for all of us because maybe some people here don't struggle with it at all. And those of you who don't struggle with it, would you really join your faith as I pray right now for those of us who do? I know I still struggle with a poverty spirit. I do. Even as we speak right now. That somehow if I really succeed and prosper, that I'll somehow turn into a bad person. I'll shipwreck my faith. And the money will do it because we've seen money destroy people. We've seen how money can do damage. And then that creates fear, but God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. So Father, I just want to pray right now for Kimberly and for everybody who feels called and they have a business and they start to succeed. And then I sabotage my success because I'm almost afraid to succeed. I'm almost afraid to prosper. And so we have this competing goal. The goal is to succeed, but a competing goal is not to become one of those terrible, horrible, rich people who only care about money and hurt other people. And maybe we've judged successful people and we don't want to become whatever we have in our mind. Oh, those successful people, they're bad, they're terrible, they're selfish. And so we have a competing goal there Goal number one is to succeed and to do great things for your kingdom and to do great things for our family. But then there's another goal. We don't want to become one of those people. And there's a vow and a judgment there. And they're competing. And that's where self-sabotage comes from. That's where self-defeating behaviors, where like you make a list and you know what you need to do and you don't do it at all, or you do like the least important one. That's where that comes from. Because that goal to not become a bad, terrible, rich person, to not become one of those successful people that you have judged, that's where that comes from. That's where procrastination comes from. That's where that pattern of two steps forward, three steps back, that's where it comes from. It's that poverty spirit. It's fear of success. And God, I know I have it. I know I have this. And it's done enormous damage. It's caused me to self-sabotage, self-destruct, procrastinate, all of it. It's shown up in my life, and I think it's shown up in the lives of a lot of people. Kimberly says it's showing up in my life. I want to be diligent. I want to succeed in my business, but then I'm afraid. I'm afraid to succeed. I'm afraid to prosper. What if it makes me into somebody I don't want to be? Oh, I'm scared. Lord, would you set before us examples in your word of people who were able to succeed and not fall away? They're warning Solomon. Solomon, crazy successful, and got himself into a lot of trouble there. They say he probably died of a venereal disease. Went crazy and died of a venereal disease. But then we see someone like Nehemiah, someone of influence and standing, who prospered. So God, it really comes back to our heart and our commitment to walk with you on a daily basis, seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness. That's the balance. Seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness. And then when those other things are added to us, we don't need to be afraid. I'll say it again. Seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness. And when we're doing that, we don't need to be afraid of the things that are added to us. I pray that for all. I pray that for myself. I pray it for all of us. I'm going to scroll up. More people commenting in the chat. Yeah, somebody's saying it. It takes a lot of energy. It's scattering. That the scattering really resonated with them. I really would recommend those of you. How do I even say this? Pride is just the root of everything. Poverty spirit is pride. I'm not going to be one of those people. It's pride. Wow. Yeah, I'm going to pray for everybody who feels scattered, because I think that was a really important thing. God, I just want to pray right now for everyone who feels scattered, just torn in a million different directions, unfocused. Again, this is what paralyzes us. And this is why I keep emphasizing, have one specific goal that you can achieve, a specific plan each day that is 100% within your power, and focus your energy on that. That is a guaranteed way not to spin out and scatter. Focus. Less is more. Daily diligence. Do the simple things. Don't waste time and energy on things that are outside your control. If it depends on another person or a mighty move of God, don't even spend any time on it. Pray about it, but don't spend any time. That's not what you need to do what you can do. Each day, daily diligence, focus. Oh, there you go. Now I like this. Labrina says, I've got a reward. It's a date night at Morton's Steakhouse. And I accidentally went there once thinking it was like an Outback. And boy, did I get the surprise of my life when the check came. So I know that is a fancy reward. Very good. I like that. I'm glad somebody's participating. Yeah, that's it. Okay. So the person I just prayed for said my prayer was spot on. That's me to the T. Don't be successful, because if you're successful, something bad might happen. Other people might not like you. You might turn into someone that you don't like. I mean, especially in our culture today, where the successful have just been vilified. You're successful, you must be a terrible person. You're one of those awful one percenters. You're the problem. We need to take all that you've worked for, we need to take it away and give it to people who are sitting and doing nothing, because those are the good people. Terrible. Very destructive in our country. Very destructive. I mean, it's just terrible. But I mean, that's how I was raised. Those terrible, awful people. They should be sitting and watching sitcoms all day like us. We're the good people. Pass me some more potato chips. Let's watch another sitcom. Yeah. Pride. It's nothing but pride. Yeah. Somebody says, we're sharing what we're doing in this class with our women's ministry leadership team, and they're asking if you're going to do this class again soon. Yeah, you know what I'm going to do? When this class is done, I'm going to put it on sale as a self-paced program, so everybody be watching for that. That's amazing. I agree. The Lord showed me that yesterday, that there are people who, you know, thought $50 was too much to invest in themselves and in the call of God on their lives. I mean, but instead of joining the class, they ordered pizza with soda and wings on the side, which was the same amount of money. It's a shame. Again, that's the poverty spirit. So I'm going to put it on sale, self-paced, so they're not going to be on the live calls. They're not going to be in the Facebook group. They're not going to have the opportunity for me to pray for them and to speak into their lives directly. So, you know, but they'll get the materials, and we'll make that available. Yeah, somebody said, I'm responsible to be a cupbearer for myself in every area of my life. Yeah, that's true. That's kind of a good point. April says, thanks for the awakening. I needed this today. I want this more than anything, and I have to treat it that way every day. Let me see if anybody's raised their hand. I really felt like there was at least one person who was going to, this had to resonate with somebody. Now, I'm not, I just got to be faithful, diligent. Somebody admits, I've not been faithful to do what God has called me to do. For years, I feel scattered. Yep. Is the mystery solved? Is the mystery solved? Do you feel scattered? Do you feel scattered brain? Do you feel like you're all over the map? Okay, then track it back. Track it back. Where does scattering come from? It comes from not being diligent and obedient to what God has told you to do. Good. You got it. You figured it out. She says, I want to come back to you and obey what you've been telling me to do all along, back to the original assignment for how I should live and move and be. A plus. Well done. Robin says, I love that you tell us what's true and not what tickles our ears, even if it hurts. I don't think, isn't that amazing? I think, why does this hurt? People tell me. Apparently, I'm tougher than I know. I just look at what the Bible says and teach it, but I guess it's alleluia. I guess I have the alleluia anointing. People are like, alleluia. I guess I just have to accept it. That's my calling. Teresa says, my vision isn't big enough. Yeah, but she's found two accountability partners, one for business, one for spiritual life, and she's going back to her vision board and making it bigger to match her big God. A plus. Good job. Another, praying for God to help me work diligently daily towards my goals so that I can make a difference in people's lives through God's power. Well done. Another says, this class is leading me out of the fog and how I want to grab hold and do diligence for God. I praise him for using you. Oh, yeah, this is really good. Somebody says, you know, I'm doing business, but I think, maybe I sabotage myself because I think business isn't spiritual enough. Yeah, it's the same thing. It's just kind of a different outfit. I think it's the same thing. You know, was what Nehemiah doing spiritual? I mean, go read chapter 2. They're building. They're picking up rocks and, you know, is that spiritual? God thought it was worth talking about in his word. Another saying that they used to struggle with the poverty spirit and began praying, God, show me, tell me there is more to my life. And God showed me, he brought me a godly man from England. And she ended up living in London. And God did amazing things. Cool. I'm 18 years younger and probably live many years after him. God showed me in a big way.
Cool.
Another, I've been struggling of dreaming bigger. I have made a decision to lead a Bible study, and it's going to be amazing, taking the risk to trust God for the next step. Another says, I feel scattered, unfocused. Okay, track it back. Where does that come from? Where does it come from? God just showed us today. That was really from him today. I hadn't planned to teach that. You can tell because there wasn't an outline on it. That was from God for a lot of his people. Yeah, this is a really good point. Integrity, that if you're a people pleaser, then you become different people in different places, which is the definition of lack of integrity. Yeah, that's a really good insight. That's from Tosca. Somebody says, maybe this needs to be a book. Another says, the prayer for success was for me. God wants to use me, and I need that word. I have received so much. Taking action. Here's the cup. Another says, the thing I've always struggled with is knowing what God's purpose is for my life. I have ideas, things that I've been analyzing for a couple of years, but I don't move forward because I don't have a clear yes from the Lord that this is the direction. I thought about something you said a few weeks ago about the person whose life was in such a traumatic place that it wasn't time for that person to move forward. I prayed and wondered if that could be too. However, I feel strongly in my spirit that now is the time to move forward, time to get unstuck. I've made huge strides in being able to stick to that resolve. No clear answer from God for what he wants me to do for my life. Again, just do what you can. Here's the cup, here's the cup, here's the cup, here's the cup. Just be diligent and faithful. Diligent and faithful with what God has set before you. And God will let you know when it's ready to do the next thing. Attel says she's focused. She really enjoyed the session today. Bigger vision. Amen. Amen. Moved by compassion for others. That really resonated with Pam. Somebody says, God's doing surgery on my heart. I lost compassion for people. That's just honest. Been there, done that. I want to teach others to be obedient to God, and I need a bigger dream. Yeah, you know, I agree with Melissa. She says I should do something with my daily page. I want to make it into an app. It really needs to be an app. That's a good idea, the daily planner and a daily app. That's a really good idea. You're the second person to tell me that. Another is saying, my prayers for God to show me what group of people I can touch and rebuild and how I can make a difference. That's a beautiful prayer. I love that prayer. Yeah, another person. A lot of people struggle with this. I want to succeed in business, but I keep hitting the wall. Maybe I'm not supposed to be in business. I think that really fast and pray and get clarity from God. God, and this probably is the hardest thing that I've struggled with in my own life. And then we'll probably wrap up in a minute. Okay, so God, is this like a Balaam's donkey moment? am I not succeeding because you're blocking me because I'm going in the wrong direction? Or is this the enemy blocking me because I am going in the right direction and he's in panic mode and having a nervous breakdown? Me personally, I find that the most difficult thing to discern. So if you're there and you're like, oh, I don't know. Am I not succeeding because I've got a poverty spirit and I'm sabotaging myself? Or am I not succeeding because God himself is opposing me because I'm going the wrong way? Or is it, you know, I think that maybe for me, that's the hardest thing. And that might be a personal thing because, you know, as someone who is abused as a child, I was taught, you know, don't trust yourself. So that might be, if you don't have that background, it might not be as hard for you. I don't know. But that's the hardest thing for me. And prayer and fasting, wisdom in the counsel of many. Do you have people that you really respect? What are they saying? What are the most influential people in your life saying? Are they scratching their heads? I can look back at things that I was right where you are, like, oh, why am I not succeeding? This is weird. And scratching my head. And the reality was everyone around me was scratching their head, saying, why is she doing that? That's not what she's supposed to be doing with her life. So that might be a thing. If you're scratching your head, wondering, huh, why isn't this working? Find out if everybody around you is scratching their head too, saying, why is she doing that? Why is she doing that? That's not what she was created to do. Because if they are, there's your answer. That might be your answer, or at least part of it. Not necessarily. I mean, sometimes you're doing something so God, so big. I mean, maybe people are like, Nehemiah. Maybe they're scratching their head. Nehemiah, why are you doing that? But Nehemiah wasn't scratching his head, right? He knew, and the king knew. The king didn't scratch his head. What? You want to do what? Wait, what? The king was like, yeah, absolutely. You're the man for that job. I don't know if that helped or hurt, but there you go. Okay, that was it. That was the last question. Okay, we love you guys, and we'll see you on the Facebook group.